بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, it is narrated in some of the books of hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once told the Sahaba of a certain person of the children of Israel, of the people of old, who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and participated in ghazawat and in jihad for hundreds and thousands of years. Allah gave him a long life. And so the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, how can we compete with those generations? How can we compete with those generations when they have been blessed with such a long life? And we know that the earlier generations were blessed with longer lives than we have been blessed with. And so the Sahaba, the first thing that came to their mind was, it's not fair that they have such a long lifespan and they're able to acquire a lot more good deeds. Whereas we have, as our Prophet ﷺ said, hadith in Tirmidhi, the average age of my ummah will be between 60 to 70. It's an authentic hadith. The average age of my ummah will be between 60 to 70, and few will be those who go beyond 70. So the Sahaba said, it's not, basically they're saying, it's not fair. The playing field is not level. They have thousands of years. We only have one short lifespan. What do we do, Ya Rasulullah? And so, when they asked this question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Qadr. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِّنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. And in this surah, which is composed of only 5 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained one of the miracles and one of the blessings that He has given us over the other nations. This is a blessing that we have and the other nations did not have. And this is a blessing called Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is such a great blessing that Allah revealed an entire surah just to illustrate to us what it is. Just to dedicate for us, just to consecrate for us the sacredness and the holiness of this one day. There is a whole surah in the Quran and it is the surah of Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalna fi Laylatul Qadr. So what is the tafsir of this surah? Let us go verse by verse. Allah says, we have revealed it in Laylatul Qadr. Of course, the reference is to the Quran. We have revealed the Quran in Laylatul Qadr. Now subhanAllah, we already know that the Qur'an came down in Ramadan. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ أَلَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Ramadan is when the Qur'an came down. Then Allah specifies one day out of the whole month. The Qur'an came down not just in Ramadan, but on Laylatul Qadr. And this means that there is a divine book that the Qur'an is written in. It is called Lawh al-Mahfuz, as you know. That on Laylatul Qadr, this divine book physically came down closer to this earth. Ibn Abbas says that on Laylatul Qadr, Allah sent down this copy of the divine book. He sent it, the original copy. وَإِنَّوْ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا. This is the original book that Allah has with Him. Allah sent it down on Laylatul Qadr, close to this world. And then from that Lawh al-Mahfuz, from that book, Jibreel then brought it bit by bit to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the very first revelation, Iqra bismi Rabbik, began on the day of Laylatul Qadr. It began on this day. So there is a two-fold revelation on Laylatul Qadr. Number one, the book comes down physically. Number two, the revelation begins spiritually. Both of these occurred on Laylatul Qadr. The book comes down, and then Jibreel begins the message of Iqra bismi Rabbik alladhi khalaq. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. So the reason why Laylatul Qadr is holy, one of the reasons why, is that the Qur'an itself came down. Another reason why this Laylatul Qadr is blessed and holy is mentioned in Surah Al-Dukhan. There are two references to Laylatul Qadr in the Qur'an. I repeat, there are two references to Laylatul Qadr in the Qur'an. The first is the whole Surah Al-Qadr. And the second is Surah, which Surah? Al-Dukhan, verse number 3. Hamim wal-kitab al-mubin. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ حَامِيم وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينَ. Allah swears by the noble and the blessed book, the clear book, and then Allah says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. We reveal the book in a blessed night. Inna kunna munzirin. We are going to warn the people. Fiha, on that night, yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. Every divine command is decided. On that night, every divine command is decided. Kullu amrin hakim. Amram min indina. Every command from us. So Laylatul Qadr is a night that the divine commands are announced, that the divine commands are actually decreed. What is the meaning of Laylatul Qadr? Scholars have differed in a number of interpretations. What does Qadr mean? Laylatul Qadr. Because the word Qadr in Arabic has multiple meanings. One meaning of Qadr is might, ذو شأن. صاحب قدر means this is a man who is worthy or famous. And so Laylatul Qadr is called Laylatul Qadr because it is a blessed night. It is a night of holiness. It is a night of weight or dignity. Qadr means sanctity. Qadr means ذو شأن, which means nobility. So one of the interpretations, Laylatul Qadr, the night of sanctity. The night that is worthy of being basically blessed. Another meaning of Qadr is to multiply or to have a set measurement. And from this, scholars say, the second meaning of Laylatul Qadr is that this night is multiplied to many nights. And Allah mentions this, that Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. So it is the Qadr of this night is not one night. The actual Qadr in the eyes of Allah is 1,000 months. So another meaning of Laylatul Qadr, it is the night that has been multiplied. Qadra, much more times than it actually is worth. And of course from this we also understand the question of the Sahaba when they said, we only have one lifespan. Allah is saying, well, I've given you in every year, I've given you one life extra. And in fact it is more than a life, because we might live 60, 70 years if Allah blesses us with that. True. But of those 60, 70 years, how much is actually spent in the worship of Allah? Do the mathematics and calculation. 15, 20 years simply to grow up and become an adult, right? Another 20 years you're sleeping and eating. Another 20 years you're actually going to work and back. How much time is actually left for the ibadah of Allah? Literally 5 years, 10 years. If we are practicing Muslims, and if we have a full lifespan, you actually calculate it out, 5, 6, 7 years, you're actually worshipping Allah. Allah is saying that I'm giving you 83.333 years. I'm giving you basically an entire life and more of pure worship. So Laylatul Qadr is not just one night. The Qadr is 83 years. So this is the second interpretation of Laylatul Qadr. The third interpretation of Laylatul Qadr is that Qadr here means restrictness. The opposite of the second meaning. Qadr here means multiplying. Another meaning of Qadr is to restrict. So for example, Allah says in the Quran, وَقُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ. His rizq is restricted. So قُدِرَ also means to restrict. Why is Laylatul Qadr called the restricted night? Because there is no space for the angels on earth. There's no space for the angels. It's tight. It's congested. That's one of the meanings of Qadr. Why is it tight and congested? We read in the Quran that تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا. All the malaika and the Holy Spirit in it, they come down. How many angels are there? More than any human can think about. Allah says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. The only being who knows how many angels there are is Allah. And on that night, they all come down to this earth. So there's no space at all. So it is called Laylatul Qadr. In this interpretation, the night of congestion. There's no space because the whole world is full of angels. And the fourth meaning of Laylatul Qadr that the scholars have derived is that قَدَّرَ يُقَدِّرُ تَقْدِيرًا. Qadr means here divine destiny, predestination. Just like qada and qadr. So this is predestination. And of course this meaning is also valid, because what happens on Laylatul Qadr, Allah tells us, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ أَمْرًا مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. On this night, every divine decision, it is made and it is announced. This is the decision that we will do. أَمْرًا مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. So Laylatul Qadr is the night that Allah's decrees are actually decreed. Now this does not mean that Allah does not know what's going to happen before Laylatul Qadr. What it means is that on Laylatul Qadr, the angels are assigned the Qadr of Allah. Ibn Abbas said that a person might be busy in his agriculture on Laylatul Qadr, and he doesn't know that Allah has just announced he's going to die that year to the angels. He's busy in his dunya. But Laylatul Qadr, the decree has come down. Allah doesn't, a'udhu billah in English, change his mind. Allah doesn't change. Allah knows what's going to happen. But on Laylatul Qadr, it is announced. To whom? To the angels. Why? Because the angels, they execute the commandment of Allah. The angels are the ones who take the souls, who breathe the soul into the womb of the mothers. The angels are the ones who bring the rizq, who take it away. So they're the executioners of Allah's decree. When do they find out the roster for the year, the checklist for the year? On Laylatul Qadr. And so this is the night when the angels are told what they have to do for the following year. And therefore this is called Laylatul Qadr. So I've given you four meanings of Laylatul Qadr. And in fact, all of them are valid and all of them are equally authentic. They all come into place and they're all meaning Laylatul Qadr. So Laylatul Qadr is the night of magnificence. Laylatul Qadr is the night of multiplying good deeds. So we said that one deed is made equivalent to 1,000 months. The third meaning of Laylatul Qadr, as we said, is that it is restricted. Why is it restricted? Because of the quantity of the angels. And the fourth meaning of Qadr, we said, is the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, on this night, Laylatul Qadr, the divine decree is announced to the angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr." We have sent this Qur'an down on Laylatul Qadr. وَمَا أَدِرَاكَ مَا Laylatul Qadr. Whenever this phrase occurs in the Qur'an, وَمَا أَدِرَاكَ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ. Whenever this phrase occurs in the Qur'an, the meaning here is that pay attention. What will make you understand? The significance is being driven home again. It's a rhetorical question. What will make you understand? What is Laylatul Qadr? So Allah is once again emphasizing Laylatul Qadr. وَمَا أَدِرَاكَ مَا Laylatul Qadr. What will make you realize how important Laylatul Qadr is? Simply the rhetorical question shows us how important Laylatul Qadr is. How will you possibly understand? And this is something we hear. Remember, rhetorical questions always, even in the English language, they're meant to emphasize a point. They're meant to drive something home that you know. You already know it, but somebody says it to you to drive the point home. What will make you appreciate how much somebody has done for you? This is a question that there is no answer to. It is an emphasis. Laylatul Qadr is something that's very important. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. And we already explained what this means, is that worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night will be the equivalent of 83 years without Laylatul Qadr. So 83 years without Laylatul Qadr is equivalent to one night of Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. And this answers the questions of the Sahaba when they said, how can we compete with those nations who were given long lives? Here is the answer. For every year that you have 83 years of worship. So if you do Laylatul Qadr for 10 years, that gives you 830 years of worship. For 10 years of Laylatul Qadr, you get 830 years. For 20, for 30, for 40, imagine, the playing field is not just leveled, you have the advantage. You have the home player's advantage, because you have a blessing the earlier nations did not have. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. What happens? So now there's three blessings now, that Allah says, we've revealed the Quran on Laylatul Qadr. Verse number one. Verse number two, how will you understand what is Laylatul Qadr? So you're being told this is an important night. Verse number three, Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 nights or 1,000 months. Every verse is emphasizing Laylatul Qadr. Verse number four, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا. All of the angels of Allah, تَنَزَّلُ. نَزَّلَ يُنَزِّلُ, the verb here means in batches. تَنَزَّلُ means in batches. They're all coming down in hordes. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا, and the spirit within it. And this is a magnificent phrase. Why? Because after the lifting up of the prophets, after the seal of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Jibreel has no need to visit earth. Khalas, Jibreel, why would Jibreel come down? Because Jibreel, his purpose was to give wahi to the prophets. Isn't that correct? Right? The purpose of Jibreel is to do what? To communicate with the prophets. Jibreel has no reason to come to earth anymore. But alhamdulillah, Allah allowed the most noble and the most beautiful and the most magnificent of all of the angels. So magnificent that Allah mentions him by name and says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فإنه نزله على قلبك. Whoever shows animosity to Jibreel, let him be warned that it is Jibreel whom Allah has chosen to reveal the Quran to your Prophet. The one angel whom Allah mentions by name in the Quran in this manner, that whoever dares to oppose Jibreel, know that Jibreel is the one who has been chosen to reveal the message. So Jibreel himself, وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا, comes down on this night. And the presence of the angels signifies the mercy of Allah. Wherever there are angels, the shayateen leave. Wherever there are angels, Allah's rahmah descends with it. Because the angels, they accompany the mercy of Allah. Their presence indicates the mercy of Allah, and their absence indicates the absence of Allah's mercy. And so, when this whole world is full of the angels, including the angel Jibreel, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ, they come down with the command of their Lord. What is this command? We just explained the qadr of Allah. The qadr of Allah, the announcements of what they have to do for the following year. This is بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. Ay, they come down بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ, that Allah has told them, so-and-so will die this year, so-and-so will have a child, breathe the ruh into the womb, so-and-so his risk will be taken, so-and-so his risk will be multiplied. So they come down and they have their list. They know what they have to do. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ تَنَزَّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ رُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. This has been interpreted many different ways. Of the ways is, all of the commands or all of the actions of man are decreed by Allah. Min kulli amr. Whatever you have in mind that you're going to do, Allah has decreed what's going to happen for the next year. Salam. Peace. There will be peace. What does this mean? When you have the presence of angels across the earth, then the shayateen cannot be on it. The shayateen will be leaving it. When the angels are saturated with the earth and all that is around it, there can only be peace. Salam. Hiya hatta matla' al-fajr. This peace and Laylatul Qadr will last until the crack of dawn, until Fajr comes out. Every single one of these five verses emphasizes Laylatul Qadr. Every one of these five verses praises Laylatul Qadr. And of course, our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ spoke about Laylatul Qadr in many, many ahadith. Of them is the famous hadith in Bukhari, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever manages to stand on Laylatul Qadr with Iman, and expecting the reward from Allah, all of his previous sins will be forgiven. So you have two conditions. You have to have iman and you have to have ihtisab. What is iman? We know, to have faith in Allah. What is ihtisab? That you expect this reward from Allah. You're not doing this to show off. You're not doing this to impress the other people. You have ihtisab, and that means you want that reward only from Allah. Whoever manages to stand Laylatul Qadr with iman and with ihtisab, all of his previous sins will be forgiven. That is an amazing blessing, that for one night, if you stand with iman and having that desire, all of the previous sins will be forgiven. Scholars differed. Does this include major sins or only minor sins? Some scholars said only minor sins. Other scholars said no. If you truly stand on Laylatul Qadr, then you will also repent to Allah. And when you repent to Allah, then even your major sins are forgiven. And really the ikhtilaf, as we say, is lafzi. It's a very minor ikhtilaf. They all agree that if you stand Laylatul Qadr with repenting to Allah, all of your past sins will be forgiven. And Aisha radiallahu anha tells us that when the last 10 nights came, when the last 10 nights started of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ shadda mi'zarahu. He would tighten his belt and he would roll up his sleeping bag. He didn't have a bed, he had a thin mattress. He would roll up his mattress and he would ahya laylatahu, spend the whole night awake. And he would ayqadha ahlahu, he would wake up his family and his household. Four things would happen. Number one, he would tighten his belt. What does this mean? Scholars have said it means two things. First and foremost, it's an expression in Arabic, which means that he would get serious. Tighten your belt, you get serious. Secondly, Aisha is referencing in a very polite manner that in these 10 days, he did not have any need with his wives in an intimate manner. Not that it is not allowed, but that his mind was preoccupied with things far bigger than this. So the Aisha said he would tighten his belt. Khalas, he's now only concentrating on the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would roll up his bed. that he's not going to sleep at night. And he would ahya laylatahu, spend the whole night awake. Now, Aisha herself narrates that the Prophet ﷺ never spent the whole night awake in tahajjud. She herself says this. And yet she's the one saying he spent the whole night awake. How do you reconcile between the two? Very simple. Outside of these 10 nights, he never spent the whole night awake in tahajjud. Outside of these 10 nights of Ramadan, he never spent the whole night awake. But only during these 10 nights of Ramadan, he would spend the whole night awake. And the scholars say that if you go to sleep for a while, that doesn't negate making qiyam on this night of Qadr. This is the perfection. And who amongst us can meet that perfection? That the Prophet ﷺ prayed the whole night. And also, if you cannot pray the whole night, the scholars say, pray a portion of the night. And they base this on the hadith also of the Prophet ﷺ in Abu Dawood, in which one of these last 10 nights, he stood in qiyam. We said already a few halaqat ago, that the Prophet ﷺ only prayed tarawih twice in his life. One of those two times, when he finished, and this was on the odd nights of the last 10, when he finished, and he said salam, and he was going to go in, one of the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, لو تنفلت لنا إلى الصبح. O Messenger of Allah, why don't we continue praying these nafil until Fajr time? Let's continue, just let's all do the whole night. And the Prophet ﷺ then said, من صلى مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام الليل. That whoever prays with the imam, the whole prayer until the imam finishes, Allah will bless him with the reward of as if he prayed the whole night. So in this hadith we learn that in jama'ah, the Prophet ﷺ did not pray the whole night. He would stay awake the whole night with dua, with dhikr, with Qur'an, with salah. But he didn't do jama'ah the whole night. And he said, if you pray with the imam until the imam finishes, then you will get the blessing of as if you prayed the whole night. Now, as we're going to come to, insha'Allah ta'ala, if you pray with the imam, the tarawih that we're praying, until the end, alhamdulillah, that is good. If you pray more than this, then of course that is better. No one should think that, okay, it's the same. No. The hadith says, if you pray this amount, you will get as if you prayed the whole night. But whoever prays this amount and more than that, will obviously get more than the one who only prayed this amount of tarawih. And the Aisha also said, O Messenger of Allah, what if we find ourselves praying on Laylatul Qadr? What dua should we make? So the Prophet ﷺ said, make this dua. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. O Allah, you are al-afu. And al-afu means the one who wipes away without a trace. And al-afu in some aspects is more powerful than al-ghafoor. And Ar-Rahman and Al-Tawwab. All of Allah's names are beautiful. And some names are more powerful than other names in some aspects. So Al-Afu means the one who erases completely. Al-Ghafoor means the one who protects you from the consequences of your sins. Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ghaffar, you will be protected from the consequences of your sin. Al-Tawwab means the one who accepts your repentance. Al-Afu, it's as if you never committed the sin in the first place. It's wiped away completely. And therefore this name in some aspects is more powerful. So we say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are al-afu. And you love to practice afu. Therefore, have afu on us. And inshallah ta'ala, we conclude in a few minutes and hand it over to Imam Zaid. Some practical advice. Brothers and sisters, in this land that we live in, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with many things, but unfortunately not everybody can take off in these nights. In Muslim countries, we have a little bit of laxity, we can show up work late the next day. You know, things are a little bit easy in other lands. In this land, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for many things, but one of the negatives, if you like, is that our jobs cannot be shifted because of Ramadan, except for those who are able to take holiday off. So I want to be practical here. If you have to get to work at 7 or 8 in the morning, you're not able to pray, you know, 5, 6 hours at night, that doesn't mean that you do nothing. No. That doesn't mean that you just sit at home and say, khalas, I cannot do it. Do what you can. If you're not going to sacrifice now, when are you going to sacrifice? There's only 10 nights. And in these 10 nights, one of these odd nights, our Prophet ﷺ said, is Laylatul Qadr. We don't know which one. And some scholars said, it varies every year. On purpose, that Allah in one year might have it 21st, in another year 23rd, in another year 25th. It varies throughout the year. And this is one opinion amongst the scholars. Only 10 nights. That's all there are. If we're not going to sacrifice now to get that 83 years of worship, when are we going to sacrifice? So, practical steps. First and foremost, brothers and sisters. First and foremost, advice to me and all of you. know that praying the fard in the masjid is the most blessed thing you can do, more blessed even than praying Taraweeh. Praying Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr in particular. And if people were to come and drive here, far from their homes, just to pray Isha, and then they have to wake up and go to work, so they leave after Isha, wallahi there is a lot of khair just in this. Just to pray Isha, because Isha is fard, and Taraweeh and Qiyam are sunnah and nafil. So just to pray the fard in your local masjids with the imam, alhamdulillah. So Fajr and Isha. And in particular these two, because our Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prays these two in jama'ah, it is as if he has prayed the whole night to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is outside of Ramadan. So how about inside of Ramadan? Point number two, we're offering, at MIC and other masajid have their schedules as well, we're offering two slots for Qiyam. The first of them is right after Isha. We plan to finish around 10:30, 10:40 every night. And the second is from 3:30 to 4:30. For those who can attend both, alhamdulillah, excellent. For those who can only attend one, there is no doubt that the 3:30 one is better than the one after Isha. Because the later you delay the Qiyam, the more blessed it is, because that is the last third of the night. And that is when Allah Azza wa Jal Himself descends down and asks the servants, who is there, who is asking, who is begging, who is seeking forgiveness, I will give him. So the last third of the night is the holiest portion, if you can do that. If you cannot do that and you can only do the first portion, then try to stick with the imam for the entire rak'at so that you get the reward of the Prophet ﷺ. And if you cannot come back at 3:30 to the masjid, at least wake up 15, 20, 30 minutes before your usual suhoor time and do some extra worship at that time. Because it's not necessary to pray in the masjid. And in fact, some scholars say it is preferred to pray at home. Some scholars. Why? Because they said you have no fear of showing off, and you can make as long dua and sujood that you want, and you have a private worship with Allah. And the correct opinion is, it is better to pray wherever your iman increases. For some people, being in the masjid, their iman increases. For other people, being in the privacy of your home for nafil, your iman increases. Nonetheless, if you cannot pray here in the masjid, then pray at home. What do you pray with? And with this we conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. This is Laylatul Qadr. So realize that at this point in time, on Laylatul Qadr, your decisions and decrees that will affect you, Allah Azza wa Jal is announcing them. And realize that our Prophet ﷺ said, nothing changes Allah's qadr other than what? Dua. Nothing changes Allah's qadr other than dua. Therefore, what should you be making dua about? For the good of this world and the next. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِذِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. You're asking Allah for forgiveness. You're asking Allah to save you from the fire of hell. You're asking Allah for every good that you want in this dunya and the next. This is why you're supposed to be worshipping on Laylatul Qadr. You want this Layla to be a blessed night. You want this Layla that whatever you do is multiplied for 83 years. Whatever you do will be multiplied for 83 years. So therefore, Quran, dhikr, dua, do whatever type of worship you can. If you can't pray the whole night, pray a portion of the night and try to do it the last third of the night. Whatever you can do, whatever you can do, make sure this is the most you do for the year. Because if you're going to fail in these nights, then really there is no himmah. If you don't have the himmah, if you don't have the resolve to worship Allah in these 10 nights, then when are you going to have the resolve? Brothers and sisters, I advise myself and every one of you, give the next 10 nights the best that you've ever given in your this whole year. The best that you've ever given. This is the least that we can do when Allah has blessed us with this Laylatul Qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to stand on this blessed night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our meager deeds on this night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be amongst those who have prayed on Laylatul Qadr and their prayer has been accepted. Wa akhru da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.